The Wire.
Lillian came across a Facebook event being advertised by Refugees as Survivors New Zealand Facebook page. The Women's Self-Defence Network, Wahine Toa, was hosting a free self-defence session for refugee and migrant women and other marginalised genders, along with free lunch and childcare. The event was on the weekend, but Lillian wanted to find out more about the day and discuss why it is important for women to know self-defence. She spoke with Vivian Chandra from Women's Self-Defence Network, Wahine Toa, prior to the session to find out more.
The Women's Self-Defence Network, Wahine Toa, has been around for quite a while, and we have a whole bunch of different programs that we run, and usually in conjunction with some kind of government funding in some way. And this one falls under what we call Skills for Safety. It's a violence prevention project for women. It's generally run with community partner groups of organizations. So, for example, it can be like English Language Partners, Shakti, that kind of thing. And it's got sort of different streams that's allowed in the funding, and this one is the migrant and refugee women's specific stream. And generally we target women 16 years and older. There's no upper age limit, and go through a bunch of self-defense kaupapa, where it's not just so I guess your listeners might be thinking about self-defense and it's just people teaching, you know, fighting or martial arts or that kind of thing. And self-defense isn't like that at all. What we sort of go through is, you know, awareness discussions about violence, self-esteem and confidence building, strategies that you can keep for keeping or getting safe. And also, obviously, there will be physical skills and strategies in there. Yeah.
Could you just, tell us a bit more about the defence network or the self-defence network itself? How long has that been around?
I actually was trying to find that somewhere and I haven't. I think it's about 30 years.
Wow.
Probably going to get in trouble because it's probably wrong.
But it's a long time, right?
It's a very long time, yes. So it started in Invercargill about then, 20, 30 years ago. It's an amazing network. It's one of the only... feminist-based organizations that teach self-defense. So there's a bunch that are either attached with martial arts type organizations or started by ex-martial artists, that kind of thing. Whereas we were started, actually it says on the website 1996, so how many years is that? Quite a few. part of a crime prevention unit of the Prime Minister's Department. So it was started initially very highly associated with MSD, and I think recently we've got ACC funding as well. So our bread and butter is a girls' self-defense project where we go into schools. Shameless plug here for any schools if you're interested. We have funding, and often it's the restriction is not that we've run out of funding, it's that schools haven't heard of us. So our bread and butter is a girls' self-defense project. It's year 7 and 8 girls, or year 10 and 12 girls, right, and year 3 and 4 girls.
This is a really comprehensive network. And I remember my mum taking me and some friends to a self-defense class when I was much younger. You know, how important is it to have these schools?
I think it's super important. So, I love that a lot of what we do is about building that self-confidence and the awareness, and it's not, it really isn't the same as, I always say martial arts is like a sport, whereas self-defense is, you know, it's real life, it's what you do, it's kind of a whole new way of being. And it's also not, so some people often, when you talk about this in sort of the public forum, people talk about it being victim blaming and, you know, putting the onus back on a person that might be attacked rather than, you know, looking at violence prevention the other way. And it's, I liken it to kind of the seatbelt analogy rather than any of that, whereas it's, you know, you have a seatbelt in the car and there is a need for the seatbelt and there's a need for using the seatbelt, and that's kind of what it is. It's not about blaming someone if they haven't got the seatbelt.
Right.
Yeah. That might be a terrible way to say it.
No.
Yeah.
So...
for example, I recently ran for a slightly younger woman it was a modelling meet. It was one of those giant agencies trying to... it was over a weekend, and I think there was like a couple of hundred... girls and women there, and they were all hoping to make it through to the final round, but I took like an hour's self-defense. And it was really about self-esteem and confidence building and a few physical skills.
Yeah, well, that was sort of my next question in terms of the people that are instructing these courses and, I guess, running the network and that sort of thing. What kind of skills do you have to have? Because I presume that there would be, yes, physical aspects, but also psychological.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we meet twice a year. In fact, just last weekend was our most latest meetup. So our whole network tries to meet twice a year to share these skills and, you know, work together to improve our curriculum. But yeah, a lot of it is that kind of, it's not just about the physical skill. There's a lot of, like, for example, we had a 3-hour workshop on trauma and how that affects the brain and how you can, you know, work around that to maximize the teaching that you give to the students.
Yeah, so it kind of covers that overall. Wow.
Definitely,
So the particular event that I'm getting in touch with you about is actually a free self-defense course aimed at refugee and migrant women.
It's an all-day course at the moment, so I think it starts at 10:30, finishes at 5, and if anyone's a refugee or a migrant woman, we also are accepting non-binary people as well, definitely. So women and non-binary people, come along and we can take you through some self-defense.
Brilliant.
It's completely free. We're including childcare. So if you have a child and you don't think you can come because you've got no other way to take care of that child for the day, then we're including childcare on site and we're including lunch during the middle of the day. So.
Now, is this something that you have done before, or is this a new kind of aim at specific communities, I suppose?
The funding's been going on for a while. We generally would do this in partnership with one group. So, for example, if the refugee Survivors New Zealand group, which is what the one you mentioned at the beginning, said, actually, we have a whole bunch of members that want to do this and we got a school hall or whatever, then we would run it just for that group. So this is one of the first times, I think, any of us have attempted a more public workshop where I've just said anyone that's a refugee or migrant can come along and we'll see what happens. So, and that's because of my personal background. I'm used to running sort of, I do other mahi, which includes, it's mostly in the technology sector, and I'm used to kind of running more public things, and I thought, why not? Let's give it a go and see what happens. The worst that can happen is I'm there alone, but there's been quite a few tickets sold so far, so I don't think I am.
And so in terms of people continuing this, because I assume it is a sort of longer journey than a one course. I mean, of course, you'd pick up certain skills after one day, but is there a commitment, I suppose, that you'd have to make to this kaupapa?
We give the participants kind of ideas on how to keep practicing at home and things like that, but unfortunately there is actually no sort of long-term kind of funding for that kind of thing, and that's something that we're really aware of, those of us that kind of teach in this sort of area. One thing we have suggested, especially to the younger girls that generally come along, is actually to kind of maybe even look at martial arts clubs and things, because while it's different, it sort of puts you in that sort of same mindset. But yeah, unfortunately there isn't actually a sort of a longer term program that you can kind of go into.
Cool.
I mean, you can do several, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the things we have had, which might be of interest to your regular listeners, is that because I made this a little bit more public, we've had a few requests from non-refugee and migrant women and non-binary people who are like, well, we want to do this too. So I'm actually in talks at the moment with a couple of very public venues, one in Auckland and one in Pōneke in Wellington, to try and do a couple more public courses.
Vivian is more than happy to put anyone in touch with the right person if they want to find out more or get involved. She's also about to advertise a few more courses for the Rainbow community and for any women and non-binary people. So if anyone is interested and wants to be on the list to sign up, you can find it on the podcast of this interview or give us a call during the show and we can give you her email address.